this could have been avoided. The united message from both family members and law enforcement after a Tarboro man stabbed a sheriff's deputy before being shot and killed.
Repairing one of North Carolina's most dangerous roadways. WRL's Gilbert Bays tells us about the planned improvements and when the project is expected to begin.
Showers, storms, and a big cool down. I'm tracking this storm system that's finally bringing fall back to our weather forecast. Plus, the best time for fairgoers in the state fair forecast.
The family of a Tarboro man shot and killed after stabbing a deputy says he needed the help he couldn't get. Thank you for joining us. I'm Deborah Morgan.
And I'm Gerald Owens. Jermaine Harris's aunt made the issue clear when she called 911.
My nephew came at me with a knife and he got schizophrenic.
Now his family and the Edgecombe County Sheriff are joining forces behind one message. WRO's Keenan Willard shows us their call for expanded access to mental health treatment.
Loved ones say Jermaine Harris was a good person who was worn down by mental health issues until he lost control. They say this tragedy could have been avoided, and now they're calling on the healthcare system to do better.
I tried to get my nephew help over and over again.
Flowers mark the spot in front of his Tarboro home where family members say Jermaine Harris died yesterday after suffering a mental health episode that resulted in him stabbing an Edgecombe sheriff's deputy with a pocket knife. The department says other deputies on scene then shot and killed Harris before tending to the wounded officer, who's now recovering at home.
I hate that this had to happen. I mean, it's no justification to what happened, but due to his mental capacity, like, he couldn't help what was going on. He was not of himself.
Family members say Harris was diagnosed with schizophrenia at 19 and tried for years to manage it, visiting hospitals and clinics in Nash and Edgecombe County to no avail.
So many people come in with so many issues that I feel like, oh, he's okay, but he wasn't. This has been going on for some time. It's been expiring. It's escalating to this incident.
His cousin says Harris was a kind person who helped out with chores around the house, but in recent weeks, his mental health worsened.
They tried to send him away for a while so that he could be treated. He would be here today. Yes, I'm angry.
Calling his wounded deputy a hero today, the Edgecombe sheriff also says the incident could have been avoided. He's calling on the state to invest in new resources for those needing high-level mental health care.
Please pray for the family of the deceased. Law enforcement and families, we need help. We need long-term facilities.
As of today, the Edgecombe DA is choosing not to release the names of the three deputies involved in the incident. We're waiting on that information in the coming days. Keenan Willard, WRL News, Edgecombe County.
A stabbing investigation tonight in Clayton. Hello, I'm Mark Boyle in the WREL Live Center. Here's where this is happening. Downtown Clayton right here. Draw your attention to that red icon, the 200 block of Pinecroft Drive. Here's some video from the scene. Investigators say there were two people, acquaintances to each other, started arguing, and one thing led to another. Both people involved in this case are recovering from stab wounds this evening. No charges have been filed. Again, investigators don't think this was a random attack. They both knew each other. Back to you.
I'm Eric Miller in the WRAL Breaking News Tracker. Just in the last 15 minutes outside the governor's mansion, we've seen a protest involving nearly 100 people wrap up. That protest, of course, in response to comments that have come to light from Lieutenant Governor Robinson on the LGBTQ community, which protesters described as hateful and fanning the flames of ignorance. I want to get to some video from the Breaking News Tracker. You can see this protest organized by faith leaders began over at the old Capitol building. They then marched across the city to the Lieutenant Governor's office and the Governor's mansion, where they joined forces with another protest from the NAACP. Organizers say they want an apology from Robinson and the opportunity to sit down and start a dialogue with him to explain why they found his comments so offensive. Failing that, they say they want him to resign. Now, we talked to the organizers here this afternoon. They said they have been working throughout this week to get this message out there, and they are not going to stop until they get a response. Back to you.
Eric, thank you. For the second day in a row, we have news for you about booster shots for COVID vaccines. An independent advisory panel unanimously recommended a second dose of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine today. Unlike the other two vaccines, this recommendation applies to everyone who received a J&J shot. They suggest the booster happen at least 2 months after receiving a first dose. Looking at what that means for North Carolina, 7.5% of the people who are fully vaccinated received the J&J shots. That's more than 422,000 people who will be eligible if this recommendation goes through. Don't forget, this is just the first step of the process. It still needs multiple layers of approval before you can go out and get a booster.
A bill inspired by the pandemic became law today in North Carolina. Governor Cooper signed the No Patient Left Alone Act today. It prevents patient visitation rights from being affected during declared disasters and emergencies. It also directs the Department of Health and Human Services to impose penalties for any violation of those rights. Big news for Holly Springs-based Seqirus. The FDA is clearing the way for flu vaccines, Flusavax, for children as young as 6 months. Until now, Flusavax has been approved as a flu preventative for children four and over. The cell-based vaccine will now be available for every patient age eligible for a flu vaccine in the U.S.
It may not look like fall out there just yet, but it will start feeling like it starting tomorrow. Meteorologist Mike Mays is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center to make sure you're prepared for the big change. Mike?
Yes, make sure you have the jackets handy tomorrow evening. And when we say tomorrow, you think, okay, is it going to be in the morning? Is it going to be in the afternoon? So we're going to do the countdown. It's about 23 hours away that we'll start to see the temperatures tumble. Give or take an hour or two if you're on the western side of the viewing area. It may happen a little bit before that. If you're watching from Wilson or Rocky Mountain, Goldsboro, it may be a little bit after that, but you get the idea. It's mainly tomorrow afternoon and evening. So if you're heading to the State Fair tomorrow, the first part of the day looks good. It's during the afternoon. We have the front coming in. We see the changes. Showers increase. The cloud cover does as well. We should be in the low 80s, but once that front moves on by, temperatures will fall. In fact, here's how it looks hour by hour. Starting at 4 o'clock, we're at about 80 degrees, but by 6 and 7 o'clock, we should see those numbers start to go down in the 60s. The winds will be picking up. It'll be blustery. The air will dry out. So yeah, it will actually feel cool. And by Sunday morning, we're expecting our low about 49 here in the triangle. Now, coming up in less than 15 minutes, we're going to talk about how long below normal temperatures will last. Deb, temperatures have been well above normal for quite some time. This will be a change.
It sure will. Mike, yeah. Thank you. Agriculture Commissioner Steve Troxler cut the ribbon this morning to officially open the 153rd State Fair. The opening ceremony is an annual tradition, and this year they moved the event outside. Dorton Arena now houses a new exhibit highlighting crops grown and products made in North Carolina. Attendance suffered on the first day of the fair. The official count from fair officials, 27,209 people walking through the gates yesterday. Remember, the gates opened at noon, so that's only about half a day. Even so, it's the smallest crowd since those half days began in 2008.
And we expect much larger crowds at the State Fair this weekend. If you're planning to go, there is a new clear bag policy that some of you are asking questions about. WRL's Matt Tallhelm read your emails, and he's joining us live to tell you how this is all going to work. Matt?
Yeah, Gerald, a lot of you emailed us and asked and said, well, I see people walking around with bags and backpacks like this in the fairgrounds. That's because you can bring them in. But when you get up here to the security gates, they have this big roll that has all these bags on it. So you'll have to empty out your bag. You'll be given one of these clear bags. Then you can just dump everything that's inside your bag into this. Put it all in there. That makes it easier. That way, once you get up here to security, they can go through this and see everything that's in there. And then they can quickly open up your other bag and make sure that what's in there is safe to go through. Now, we've been seeing the lines getting longer here. And so some of the police officers, the security here, you see right here, one of the officers going through with those plastic bags, going down the line, finding people that do have some of these bigger bags and telling them to empty them out, dump them into these, and go on through. Now, diaper bags, medical bags, things like that, those are allowed inside. You don't have any size restrictions on the size of the bag that you can bring in. Also, you will see that some vendors inside here are handing out bags like this so you can carry other things inside. So if you don't want to bring one of those bigger bags, you'll find them inside. You can bring a small purse, a small clutch that fits in the size of your hand. Once you get up here, they will go through that, though, as you get up to security. And again, these lines are starting to get longer, so all of this is meant to speed up that process to get you inside the fair quicker. Gerald?
The security always important at the State Fair. Matt Tallhelm reporting live. Thank you, Matt. WRAL puts all of your State Fair news right at your fingertips, from parking and policies to the full fair guide. It's all on WRAL.com and the WRAL News app.
Progress in state budget talks and a big deadline early next week are just a few of the topics we're talking about in this week's On the Record.
You all have a big deadline coming up on Monday, the Leandro ruling that you have to fund that fully by Monday. Representative Arp, do you all think that you'll be able to do that? Are you expecting an extension potentially from the judge?
But what we want to do is provide a reasonable budget, and this budget does it.
Lena Tillette and Travis Fain speak with lawmakers about where the budget stands. They'll also be talking about the fallout from the lieutenant governor's comments and the mental health crisis taking the spotlight at UNC this week. When we go on the record Saturday night at 7:30 on WRAL and Sunday morning at 8:30 on Fox 50. Cumberland County Schools paid out thousands of dollars to its staff today. The system promised bonuses this summer, $500 for new hires who stayed with the job through September 30th. School leaders also approved retention bonuses, $1,000 for staff already with the schools before June 1st who stayed through September. The money comes from federal COVID education relief funds. The State Highway Patrol wants to draw your attention to driving safely around school buses. Operation Stop Arm starts Monday. It's a yearly effort to enforce traffic violations around schools and school buses. Monday.
The sun beginning to set on the state fair. Models Carmen Electra and Joanna Krupa are among 40 models who are suing six nightclubs in our area. The trademark infringement suit were filed in federal court. They say the clubs use the models' photographs to promote their establishments. They named the Ambus One Nightclub in Raleigh, Capital Cabaret in Morrisville, Victoria's Cabaret and Secrets Cabaret in Fayetteville, Cave Gentlemen's Club in Jacksonville, and Cherry's Gentlemen's Club in Havelock. According to these lawsuits, all the establishments are strip clubs except Ambus One in Raleigh.
A section of Interstate 95 in Lumberton has been called one of the most dangerous roadways in North Carolina. The state DOT has a $432 million plan to help with the problem. Work will happen from U.S. 1 south all the way to Highway 74, an 8-mile stretch through Lumberton. WRAL's Gilbert Bay shows us what those improvements will look like.
Well, you're right. This section of Interstate 95 in Lumberton is dangerous because of the congestion here. But there's another problem. I was here for Hurricane Matthew and Florence, and this section of the road was underwater. And the DOT says they have a plan to make sure that doesn't happen again.
I-95 passes right through the heart of Lumberton. Unlike other cities, there is no bypass. So the interstate traffic mixes with the city traffic, and that causes congestion. The DOT is about to widen an 8-mile section of the interstate from 4 lanes to 8.
It really should have been widened to 6 lanes years ago. And we're doing it to 8 lanes so that when the project is completed, it will give you more capacity for years to come.
This virtual animation gives you an idea of what the finished project will look like. 4 lanes in each direction from exit 13 at Highway 74 to exit 22 at Highway 301. In addition to widening the road, the DOT plans to elevate it. This section of I-95 was underwater from flooding caused by Hurricanes Matthew and Florence.
It was flooded and looked like a river, and you could actually have boats on it. And it was closed for a week or so each time, and we are going to be elevating huge sections of the highway.
Stop signs to get on the highway will be replaced with smooth-flowing roundabouts. The $432 million project was awarded this week, but it'll be some time before it's completed.
It'll probably start next summer. It'll take about 4 years, so 2022 to 2026.
Now, in addition to widening the road, this bridge here at exit 19 is going to be replaced. And the DOT says they plan to lengthen those ramps so it'll be easier for motorists to get on and off of Interstate 95. In Lumberton, Gilbert Bays, WRAL News.
Well, the DOT says once construction begins, traffic will have to detour off the interstate to replace bridges and improve interchange ramps.
Chapel Hill's Fall Arts Market is back in a new form. Tonight is the first night of the new Festifall. The event was scaled back this year and will happen as pop-up events with art and live music over the next 3 weekends. Tonight's block party is on Henderson Street. The events are designed to bring more people and business to the downtown district. The final event will be held Saturday, the 30th, on Franklin Street. And this is your final weekend to check out the Triangle Parade of Homes. More than 120 homes in Wake, Durham, Orange, and Chatham counties will be on display. The parade is free and self-guided and open to the public. Just go to triangleparade.com for more details. And Mike, whether you're walking in and out of those homes or you're at the state fair, you're going to need at least a jacket on Sunday. But until then, warm and a little wet.
Yeah, we have about a 5, maybe 6 hour window tomorrow afternoon where there'll be cloud cover, a little bit of rain, and a transition from warm to cool. Now, we're looking at the State Fair camera. A lot of blue sky today. Not the wall-to-wall people at the State Fair, but I'm sure that will change over the weekend. And Sunday, in my opinion, is the best day to head out there because it'll be nothing but sunshine, it'll be chilly, and it will be breezy. It will feel like the North Carolina State Fair. After a high of 85, we're 82 right now at the airport, the dew point 66. Those dew points are going to crash into the 30s during the day on Sunday. You'll feel that crisp, dry air, and it's the kind of dry air that will cause a lot of static electricity. So if you're walking across the room and touch the doorknob, you'll probably get that little static electricity. I love that every time. Time of year when that happens. So here's our State Fair forecast this evening. Clear sky, 77 at 7, 9 o'clock, 73, 11 o'clock, 70. It's dry, it's warm, no need for a jacket. But if you're heading to the State Fair tomorrow and you're heading there in the afternoon, make sure you have a jacket because in the evening on the Midway, it will begin to cool down. And here's a look at the U.S., North America, south part of South America, Central America, showing where the cooler air is. It's west of our cold front to the east. That's where it was warm today. Again, we had 85 in Raleigh. It was 86 in Fayetteville. Now, yeah, it gets cool behind the front, but it's not a monumental drop. But yeah, it's fall. If it was wintertime, we'd expect a bigger drop, but it's fall. 63 at Kansas City, 60 at Chicago, 50 at Minneapolis. That's far cooler there. We have 82 in Raleigh, 84 right now in Birmingham, Alabama. So the coolest air we've had so far, at least the coolest morning out at RDE, was on September 25th. Had a low of 49. This is a cooler air mass coming. The low on Monday is expected to be about 43. And we are going to have some chilly mornings. Now, tomorrow, not so much. 61. Our normal low is 51. So 49 on Sunday would be below normal. 43 on Monday morning would be below normal. 46 on Tuesday. We start to warm back up. So 52 the low on Wednesday. This is the kind of air that you can shut off the air conditioning, open up the windows during the day, close the windows at night, put on the extra blankets. I'm not sure I'm going to turn my heat on. I don't think just yet, but I'll probably put a lot of blankets on the bed. Now, heading to the State Fair tomorrow, we showed you this at the top of the newscast, your rain chance in the afternoon. Still a warm day, and it's going to be a windy day. But on Sunday, check out all the sunshine. It's cool, 50 in the morning at 8 a.m., 61 at lunchtime. By 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 66. We lowered the high by a degree for Sunday. The air is going to be very dry, and it will be rather breezy. Now, it's clear and mild tonight, perhaps some patchy fog, 61 in Raleigh, 63 Fayetteville, 62 in South Hill. A warm, windy day tomorrow. But I tell you what, once that front clears your community, the winds are going to switch direction. They may pick up. You'll feel the air dry out and it will get cooler. Temperatures will tumble into the 60s. Your 7-day forecast, there's the coolest day, 66 for Sunday, 71 on Monday. All next week is dry. It's not hot. It'll be close to 80 on Wednesday and Thursday, but here in the Triangle, I don't think we'll hit 80, Deb, but it'll be comfortable. Next weekend, we should get another shot of cooler air.
It really looks like a great forecast. All right, Mike, thanks. You know, so many football teams dealing with injuries, it's been tough to watch, Chris.
Yes, that time of the year for sure. No Christian McCaffrey for the Carolina Panthers. For the third straight week, what Panthers head coach Matt Rhule said about him and how he looked in practice this week. That plus, Sean Nahas has made a huge impact with the NC Courage in just 2 weeks after being named their interim head coach. How he's built a trusting environment in that time. Ahead in sports. It's been 2 weeks since Paul Riley was fired by the NC Courage and Sean Nahas was named the interim head coach in his place. In those 2 weeks, the Courage have only gone 1-2, but more important than the record is what Nahas has done in the locker room. After Wednesday's loss, Kaylee Kurtz and Meredith Speck both told the media they want Nahas to be their permanent head coach. Nahas spoke to Megan O'Keefe on WRAL's Courage on the Pitch podcast and talked about creating a safe environment in these times.
Has there been any moments that you've witnessed among the players, whether it's on the field or off the field, small interactions where it's clicked with you, like this moment we're in right now is bigger than soccer?
I'd probably say, Meg, there's probably three moments, to be fair.
Share them all. We're here for it.
The first one, when I met with them out on the field in the first training session and sort of spoke with them about who they are and their value as people and their voice's value and not let anything deter that, not let them ever feel that their voice doesn't have power. Or feel that they don't have a voice in many ways, and just sort of let them know that we as a staff support them and, you know, we're here for them and so on. I think that was important for them.
You can hear those other two moments and the rest of the episode of Courage on the Pitch. Just go to WRAL.com and search podcasts. Carolina Panthers are 0-2 this season without Christian McCaffrey. Now they'll be without him once again this Sunday. Today, the team ruled him out for their game against the Minnesota Vikings with a hamstring injury. Matt Rhule says he's coming along, just not well enough to play this week.
Got out there, started practicing early, still felt it. Just not there yet. So, you know, obviously came off hoping that, you know, maybe we'd be ready on Thursday. Just hasn't been there yet. So, he's doing everything he can. It's just, it's been 3 weeks. So, you know, we'll hope to have him out there next week.
Panthers will look to get their first win of the season without McCaffrey playing Sunday. They'll also look to stop a 2-game losing skid. They'll host the Minnesota Vikings Sunday at 1:00. You can watch it over on Fox 50. High school OT, well, actually high school football is back tonight, which means Football Friday is back as well. Our showdown game of the week coming from Heritage High School as they will host Wake Forest with conference implications on the line. You don't want to miss Football Friday tonight at 11:35 right here on WREL. And you can go to highschoolot.com for all the updates to get you ready for all those games tonight. That's all I was trying to say at the beginning, but I got it backwards. We're good now. Yeah.
It's a perfect night for Football Friday, too.
Absolutely, it is.
Exciting to see the games. Thanks, Chris.
And thank you for watching. NBC Nightly News is coming up next with a warning about high heating bills this winter. Who is seeing the spike and steps you can take to conserve energy?
And then at 7, we're taking a closer look at Johnson & Johnson and those booster shots. We're going to ask former FDA Commissioner Mark McClellan if today's recommendation is the right move. We'll see you at 7.